Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
Father God, we thank you for being here. We thank you, Lord, that we can share communion together. We thank you that our dear brother, PB, Pastor Bill Devlin, is in the house. You brought him in to us today. Thank you for that, Lord. And we're going to have communion together. And Lord, thank you that your word always speaks. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Lord, as we open up your word, we ask you, Lord, to just penetrate our heart and our mind so that we can really just discern you in the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that was great. You know, I'll tell you, the big takeaway, I texted Jamie after I watched the service, and the big takeaway for me, you know, I love what he said towards the end. He said, you know, I used to pray, Lord, just pour down your spirit, just like you did in Pentecost. Just anoint me, Lord, with like new gifts of the spirit and all this, and just pour your spirit down upon me. And then he heard in the inner core, a voice, and I'm paraphrasing a lot, okay? You'll have to listen back yourself. But then he says, but you know what? I heard the voice saying, why don't you release what I've already given you? And I'm like, that's so true. I mean, he's poured so much, he's invested so much into you, and he's saying, just release it. Just start pouring it out to others, amen? And so now we're going to look at Acts chapter 3 and only the first 11 verses of it. And we're going to be looking at a miracle, the first recorded miracle. We know that there were miracles, you know, of course, before the ascension of Christ. But after the ascension of Christ, we read last week that there were going to be a lot of signs and wonders happening. And in fact, if you can put that up. Hi, Tammy. You're running PowerPoint. Good job today. If you could put up Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And we skimmed over this last week, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. You know, by the way, when you look at those two verses, you can actually see really five foundational things in the Christian lifestyle. Those two verses wrap it all together. And I'll show you in that, first of all, the Word of God. You know, back then they didn't yet have the New Testament written, but the Word of God they drew from the Old Testament. The next thing, fellowship, right? Getting together. Not only believers, but also just making sure we're interacting with the world to bring the glory of God, right? The next thing, breaking of bread, communion, which we're doing today, praying for one another, and then finally, signs and wonders, good works. You know, we always think of signs and wonders as miraculous healings, and they're wonderful, but you know what? Signs and wonders are someone getting saved, someone just surrendering their life and saying, I need Jesus Christ. That is a miracle. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
That is the greatest miracle. That's greater than any healing of the body, because when your soul gets healed, it's eternal. Amen? And so right there, and those five foundations, actually, I just want to mention, is we have cell groups that we gather together, and they cover these five foundational concepts of Christian life. And it's so good to really stay engaged in all parts of Christianity. Am I reading the word enough? Am I in fellowship enough? Am I in communion, you know, having communion with other believers? Am I praying enough? And am I seeing good works done through me, the fruit of the Spirit pouring out through me? You know, am I experiencing the fullness of being a believer? Because we need all of those things operating in our lives to really live that abundant life. And if you want to talk more about that after the service, I'd love to talk to you about these cell groups and really just growing in these areas. Because, you know, Bible studies are awesome. They really are. But why not experience the fullness of what it is to be a believer? We have a great life. So anyway, so these signs and wonders were starting. And of course, they were starting before Christ even was crucified. He anointed his disciples to do these things. But now it was spreading out, and these signs and wonders were happening. And Jesus told his disciples the Last Supper, you know, you should be glad that I'm going to heaven to be with my Father. Because when I do, the Holy Spirit will come down upon you, and he will anoint you for many things. And in John 14, 12, he said just this, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. So we can expect amazing things to pour out from us to others in our lives and people that we come in contact with. And also, just before Christ ascended, probably the last couple days or so, in Mark chapter 16, he told his disciples these things. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And you know, all these things I've actually seen and experienced or been part of. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And that's what we're going to look at today, a healing. But these signs and wonders, did you ever say, Lord, I want to experience these signs and wonders pouring out through me? Well, the Lord's saying that, you know, these are things that can operate in our lives. And so we're going to read now about the first documented healing through the hands of Peter, and really laying hands on the sick. You know, we do it regularly here. In fact, at the end of the service, we're going to have prayers up here. And if you're sick, if you have ailments, and you would want prayer, we're going to have a prayer team up here that you can come up and receive prayer for those things. And we believe that the fervent prayer of a believer accomplishes a lot. Do you believe that? Amen. Like, prayer accomplishes so much. It's the fuel of the kingdom of God. It really is. And so, anyway, without further ado, I left my glasses somewhere. So anyway, oh no, I didn't. Look at this. I'm more equipped than I thought. They're in here somewhere. Bear with me. Just say hi to the person next to you if you didn't already. They're stuck. There they are. Okay. All right. Ready? I'm still in denial that I even need these things, but that's okay. All right. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1. We're only going to stop a couple of times, so don't get annoyed. Okay, you ready? Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So let's just stop there. You're like, oh, really? But just for a minute, okay? Again, there's only a couple of stops, okay? But so they went into the temple for prayer at the time of prayer. And you know what's really neat is, if you study like the Jewish tradition and so forth, they met for prayer three times a day, at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. And they would meet together, and you could see this format in David's life, in Daniel's life, praying three times a day. And so they did this. But what's amazing is that they had just gotten saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? And yet they still continue to do the things that they knew were right. They didn't suddenly say, I'm going to reject all tradition. Those things that the Lord implanted in their lifestyle, they said, well, that's still for today. And so they went in to pray. And when I was thinking about this, the time from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., you know what happened during that time also? Christ was crucified. He was crucified at 9 a.m., at 12 p.m., the land became dark, pitch dark for 3 hours. I mean, people were saying, what is happening? I mean, this is, like, this can't be an eclipse. This is something deep and dark. And then at 3 p.m., the earthquake, he gave up his spirit, and the lights came back on. And we see this whole picture. Isn't it amazing that it lines right up with the times of prayer? Because the Lord was fulfilling all the old things of traditional, of everything in the Jewish heritage pointing to the Messiah. And now he's saying it's for all of you. And so they continued to do that and to pray. And now let's move on to verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So here's this beggar at the temple that his family would bring, and they would lay him right there at the door of entry. And thank you, Tammy, right there. And this gate, okay, which they call the gate called Beautiful, was actually called Nicanor. Aren't you glad I took an attempt at that? But Nicanor, and it was a temple. It was the gate that led from the courtyard of the Gentiles, okay? You can see that's all them, okay? And if you're a Gentile, you got to stay out here. But then the gates were opened, okay? And you went in, and first it was the court of the women. Everything was still segregated, in a sense, right? And that was the courtyard of the women. And then you went even deeper if you were a man. And then, of course, if you were a priest, you went even deeper into the temple and so forth. So this man was laid right here, okay, so that he could beg from all the Jews going in to worship God. And when you think about it, what a strategic place to be placed, right? You know, first of all, people are going in, okay, to worship God, okay? So as they enter, okay, they're thinking, well, like, look at this poor guy, like, here, I mean, I can't just walk past him, okay? I'm going to praise God. And yet this poor guy, he needs something, you know? So it's a great place to give. But if you even were calloused enough to walk past him and go in and say, I don't see him, I don't see him, okay? And now you're in, you're worshiping God, you're feeling so glad about everything, and you're so grateful for your life and so forth, and now you're coming out, oh, I don't see him. That's hard. That's more difficult even, to walk out without giving him something, right? So he was strategically placed in a perfect place at the gate called Beautiful. You know, this gate, they say it could have been as much as 75 feet high, this doorway, okay? And the doors were Corinthian brass. They just glistened in the sun, you know? And they were just beautiful. And so that's why they call it the gate called Beautiful. And as people went in, they would give him money. And so Peter and John were walking by, and they saw him. And let's take another look at more of the temple, just so you can get a better picture of this. So this would have been right there. There's 15 steps, okay? All the Gentiles were out here and out here. But this was where he would have been laid. And this is called the Solomon's porch or portico, okay? And you'll see this in verse 11 when they went out there and started preaching with the beggar that would be healed, okay? This is a model. If you could tell, this model is in Israel. If you ever go to Israel, you could see this. And here's a walkway. So this is very tiny because this walkway, if a person was standing there, they would look like a mammoth giant, okay? And we actually stood there and looked at the whole model. Very cool. And so that's the picture of it. And so here we have this beggar at the gate. And I found this cool painting. Well, it's not the real painting, but it's a photo of it, of this picture painted sometime in the early 1700s, of this picture of, you know, of Peter and John and, of course, this beggar, and as they speak to him. And so, you know, as I was thinking about this, right, he's laying at the doorway, okay, so that he can get something as people come in or come out. But he didn't crawl in. I mean, if you're right there, why not be brought in to the courtyard, okay? And we can hypothesize many different reasons, but here's what it reminded me of. So our church gets a plethora of phone calls throughout the year, okay? And we get calls from complete strangers, okay? And they say, my rent's behind. Or they say, you know, do you have any of those food cards? And constant, you know, phone calls needing things. And so, you know, we want to be good stewards of God's money. We don't know who they are, what they really need. We don't know anything, okay? So, and I start talking to them. Well, do you belong to any churches? Well, no, you know. Okay, well, can you come in and let us meet you, okay? Well, that right there kills about 95% of the requests, okay? They can't even come once to meet us, okay? And I'm getting somewhere with this, is that their issues could be resolved by just coming into church and meeting believers and meeting with God. Do you realize that? So many of our problems, we are in so much lack and need because we refuse to enter in according to God's design, approaching Him with accountability. See, just writing a check or giving a, we do it, don't get me wrong. When people are hard up and, you know, we don't put strings attached to all these things, but we would rather give them something formative in their lives that actually transforms their lives, help them transform their spirit, their soul, and their actions. That would truly change their lives. But just handing them something is like putting a Band-Aid on a missing limb. You know, it doesn't accomplish what God really wants to accomplish. And it's sad because the church many times has shifted to this humanitarian giveaways without any accountability. And it's not God's design. If you notice, He taught for 3 days before He fed the people. Do you realize that? He didn't start with the breakfast. 3 days. They were about to drop. Then He's like, maybe we should give them something to eat. Okay? And the other time was a full day. Okay? And then you didn't hear about it anymore. In fact, He even rebuked them. You're only following Me for the bread. Do you remember that? So I think sometimes our perspective of Jesus just giving away with no accountability is not godly because it doesn't truly transform the lives. We have the government to do that, unfortunately, right? Because there's no accountability there at all, okay? I'm not getting political, by the way. I'm just telling you the truth, right? So anyway, but so here we have this gentleman and he's asking, and he just wish he would come in, you know? Because things could really change for him if he had just come in and met with the Lord. But anyway, he's meeting the Lord through Peter and John. So let's read on. So where are we? Verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him, meaning Peter, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And verse 10, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And now verse 11 is where we'll end. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, were greatly amazed. Sorry, I'm botching this up, the reading a little bit. I've been up since 3:30. Don't you hate when you just can't go back to sleep and you're like, but anyway. So here is this beggar. And what's really cool is, do you notice, like, he's hanging on to Peter and John, not for balance. He didn't need to be balanced. because he already stood up. He was hanging on to them for love, for gratitude, for like, man, I don't want to go anywhere away from these guys. These guys introduced me to real power of God. And so he's just going to follow them from then on. And that's so awesome to see that. But let's rewind a little bit and just show up on the screen. Acts chapter 3, verse 7. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You know what I thought was really interesting and important there is that Peter actually took him by the hand. Did you notice that? Now, a lot of times in Scripture, that doesn't happen, okay? In fact, you know, Paul, while he was walking along, he saw someone who had faith to believe in healing, and he said, get up, and he got up. Jesus did that too. Remember when he saw the gentleman with his mat at the portico, pool of Siloam, and he's just like laying there, you know, day after day, year after year, and every time the stirring of the water, everyone gushes towards there because the first one in gets healed. We're not going to get into that today. But, you know, but he would just lay there, and he could never get to the water in time. He couldn't get past everybody. And then Jesus, in fact, let's show that. I love this section. John chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Then Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. And when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. In other words, he's like, get up. Okay. So sometimes the Lord just says, get up. You already have what you need, but sometimes we need some help getting up, right? And in this case, this man needed Peter's assurance. So you can do this. You can get up. Like, let me help you up. You know, we all need some help sometimes, don't we? We all need mentors. We all need people to pray over us and to show us what success and healing looks like in our lives. We all need that. You know, in fact, I love this quote from Henry Ford. Sorry, Tammy, I'm all over the place up there. But did you ever see this? In fact, it's on one of the Ford commercials. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. I put that up sometime in the past, but isn't that so true? As a man thinks, so is he, right? And if you think you're already right, because if you don't think you can, right? Sometimes we need encouragement believing that we can. You know, even Henry Ford had a mentor. And you know who it was? Thomas Edison. Yeah, the inventor of light bulbs. He was working for his company and he started talking about these fuel combustion engines and Thomas Edison's like, sounds great, you should pursue that, you know? Who knows how else he helped him get to where he was. But like, we all need someone to believe in us, to believe what God wants to do in us. Now, whether it be physical healing, but I'm really have more of a focus today on life healing, transformative living. In other words, believing that I already have everything I need to achieve. I don't need anything else right now to accomplish everything the Lord wants to do in me. And I just believe that. Whether I'm limping, crawling, whatever, I have what I need today to accomplish what the Lord has for me. I don't need any more. I don't lack. No matter what I do or don't have, I don't lack. You know, remember even Paul said, you know, sometimes I had a lot, sometimes I had a little. And here's a guy who had scars all over him, okay, who probably could barely see from being beat so many times and his optical nerve probably being damaged. I mean, he went through a thing or two. If you ever see his resume of punishment, It's long and lengthy, right? And yet he said, through all of this, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't need more. People always think that that has to do with like winning a boxing match or something like that. No, it has to do with being able to endure and actually succeed through any life's circumstances. We can do exactly what we need to do. Do you believe that? Amen. You know, because not all of us are going to be healed. Not all of us are going to be, some of these ailments in our tents here in this world are all going to be fixed. And you know that. Some things, for one reason or another, may stay. Okay? But guess what? I have what I need. I have everything I need to succeed. I don't need more. Neither do you. You could pray for more. Lord, I really want this. Lord, please just help me. You know, if you can help me, if you can heal this in my body, and that's totally just to pray for those things. In fact, if you don't pray for those things, it might reflect some doubt. Don't doubt. Okay? Pray for everything. But you have what you need according to God's will. You have it already. Because if we're just going to pray and pray and pray for something that for one reason or another, the Lord has just allowed it to persist in your life, and you're not going to start anything else until this happens, it's going to be possibly a lot of wasted days or years of your life while you're waiting for something that may not happen. You have what you need. Now, the Lord, he chose to heal this beggar. You know, he was looking for a hand out, but he got a hand up. Amen? Amen. Like, that's the problem. In this world, everyone who calls our church and everything, oh, geez, can I have? And they're just looking for something that is like a Band-Aid. Dude, you need a brand new life. You don't need a bandage. You need a whole new life. You need a new heart. You need everything. Forget about the Band-Aid. You need you don't need a meal. You need a new life. That's what you need. That's what this world needs. And unfortunately, people are even coming to the church for the handout. But the Lord wants to lift us up. I love what he says. If you humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of the Lord, he does what? He lifts you up. He lifts you up. Amen? Amen. This man was just looking for so little, and he got so much. I think we can't satisfy for the temporal things. We don't even want to be satisfied with physical healing. We want it all. Lord, I want everything. I want to be everything you want me to be. I want to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, moving in power and might, able to walk on water, whether it be physical or symbolic. I want to be able to walk through the fire and not burn. I want to be able to cast out the demons in people's lives. Lord, I want it all. Don't you want it all? Why are we so satisfied with temporal things? I want eternal things. We don't fix our eyes on the temporal. We fix our eyes on the eternal. You know, when we keep our eyes on things that are not yet, and I don't want to sound like Kamala Harris for a minute, okay? But we keep our eyes fixed on things that are not yet, but believe they will be, they happen. Because we create through our faith. We create through what we believe God is going to do. You know, I believe that the Lord is going to bring peace somehow, some way over in Iran. I'm going to believe it. And I know there's a lot of evil and conspiracies and all this stuff, you know. But I want to believe that God wants to bring unity and salvation to the Muslims. Why not? They're so fervent after a false god. How fervent will they be after the real creator, the real Messiah, Jesus Christ? Amen. And then Israel, you know, they're still rejecting the Messiah. What if the Lord does something here and now? But you know what? If he doesn't, we Christians have to stay the course and stay on track, tethered to Jesus Christ. You know, our hope is not anchored in Donald Trump. Our hope is not anchored in Israel. Our hope is not anchored in even peace in the Middle East. Our hope is not anchored in any of that. Where is our hope anchored in? Jesus Christ, behind the veil, where our forerunner is, our author and finisher of our faith. Amen. You know, hallelujah. You know, we can't get anchored in the situations of today. We just can't. It's just going to pull us down to the lower depths if we get dragged into this. If we're tethered in heaven, I always love this picture, really, of like being suspended from the things in this world, you know? Because we're anchored in heaven. Whatever happens down here, all right, you know, I'm hanging above it. I'm hanging. I'm just hanging out here, okay? Yeah, I see that, I see that, I see that. But guess what? I'm not anchored to any of it. I'm anchored from above. Amen? And then we can truly see things clearly and say, okay, I get it. All right, I see this. Yeah, this doesn't look right. That doesn't look right. But he looks right. He's always right. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The things down here will continue to change. They'll continue to be evil. Sometimes they'll continue to start getting good. But guess what? We know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We got to keep our eyes fixed on eternity and keep the kingdom of God. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's where we're from. Right now we're in exile, in a sense, on this planet, you know, but we could still thrive. You know, that's what always struck me, that the Lord allowed Israel to thrive in exile. Did you ever realize that? They thrived. They didn't want to go back home. And like God said, oh, I treated them too well out here. They don't want to go back now, okay? He said, no, just settle in there, because eventually you're going to go back home. Well, the Lord is going to bless us here and even more so beyond. Amen. We'll just finish up, and we're going to have some communion. I hope I wasn't all over the place. I feel like I was, but, you know, are you tracking me a little bit?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, the Lord can use a donkey. But I just wanted to show you, again, this last word that in Acts 3, 9 to 10, and he took him, and all the people saw him, again, the beggar, but now he's walking and praising God, okay? He's praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to them. You know, we all have a testimony. We all have one. If you don't, perhaps you don't know the Lord yet, because once you give your life to the Lord, you're going to have a testimony. Looking back at how dirty and rotten I was. Really, Jill can give an amen to that. No, please don't. No, but really, I mean, we're all, like, no one's better than anyone else. You ever think about that? It's level ground at the foot of the cross. Amen. No one deserves anything. It's Jesus Christ who did it all. Right? Amen. And so when they saw this beggar, I'm like, what? Praising God. He's that dirty guy. And look at him. And we thought that it was all the sin in his parents' lives or his life. That's why he's crippled and all. But look at him. Like, he's praising God. And, you know, that's your life. When you suddenly are born again and you're praising God and you're saying, man, I have a new life. I am a new creation. Walking in the newness of life. That's you when you come to Jesus Christ and surrender your life. That's you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to have communion now as the gentlemen start passing that out. And why don't we have the worship team come on up? I know it's a little bit early, but Pastor, will you come on up, please? I'm going to give a little intro. Most of you know PB, the Indiana Jones of the gospel, I call him. See, Frank never heard that identity. But
come with me.
Yeah. to Nigeria, northern Nigeria. But PB is just a dear friend of ours, and we've known him for years and years. And he'll be preaching sometime soon, and when he comes, he brings fire. Because of the things that the Lord brings him through, somehow you're still never burned. You smell better and better. Do you know that? You smell like Jesus more and more each trip you take. Let me give you a mic. Hold on.
Praise the Lord, Lansdale Life. Great to be with you. Let's give Jesus a hand clap for what he's doing here this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I am just in from northern Nigeria. I was there to rescue 8 children. There were 16 children kidnapped by the Islamists 6 years ago in order to Islamicize them and convert them to Islam, and went there with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Went there a year ago, and a mob showed up, and they wanted to stone me to death. And, you know, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, oftentimes people say, well, what's a Christian? Here's a definition I want you to memorize today. You know what a Christian is? It's one beggar telling other beggars where to find bread. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm just a beggar. Amen?
Amen.
Begging for the Lord's grace. And as you take the bread and the cup this morning, remember that communion has a past influence in your life, a present, and a future. And as I stood in the midst of that mob that were ready to take up stones to stone me on March 19th, 2025, straight up raw and uncooked, and you know what I said? I was there with my 2 Nigerian team leaders. I said, Lord, as the mob was gathering and they were shouting, let's stone him, let's stone him. And there I am dressed like this. And that's why I like to dress like this, Pastor, because I want to stand out a little bit. Amen?
Yeah.
For Jesus.
That's right.
And I just closed my eyes and I said, Lord, if that's how you want me to go, if that's you want me to enter in to the communion of St. Stephen and be stoned to death, and I said, Lord, my life is not my own. Amen?
Amen?
And your life is not your own. For us to live as Christ, to die is gain. Amen?
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live as we take the Lord's Supper, I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for us. Do you believe that, Lansdale Life?
Yes.
Do you believe that, Lansdale Life?
Yes.
Do you believe that, Lansdale Life?
Amen.
Amen. So we remember the death of Jesus Christ. That's the past influence in our life. And what's the current? That we can be empowered, like release when you first made the intro. Release that power within me. You know, you have the power right now, the same power in your chest that raised Jesus from the dead. You got it.
Yeah.
Woo! And that's why, as that mob was gathering, and I said, Lord, if you want me to join St. Stephen, I'm ready. And then we prayed against spiritual wickedness in high places. We prayed against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. And we stretched out our hands to 3 of us and we said, Lord, deliver us from evil. Bang, bang.
Yes.
And the Lord delivered us from evil that day in order to live another day. And we took authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I go on death-defying missions. And if you want to come with me, I'll pay for a one-way flight. We'll get you fitted before you leave. And men, I only take men. Make sure you have a lot of life insurance. Amen. Your wife will be very, very happy. Amen. Hallelujah. But we live for Christ. So the current is the power of Christ released in us as we take the bread and the cup. Amen. And then what's the future? Well, you're taking the bread and cup this morning to remember Jesus is coming back. Amen?
Amen.
And it might be today. Amen. Can you imagine what if Jesus came at like 2:00 today? Are you ready? Amen. Are you ready?
Amen.
Okay, you sound ready. If you're not ready, see Pastor Chris afterwards. Hey, you can get your ticket punched today, baby. Come on, up in here, up in here. If you don't know Jesus, you can get your ticket punched today by the blood of the Lamb slain before the foundations were, before the world was laid down. Amen. And it's also a time for those of you who are believers, it's a time to examine ourselves. Lord, you heard the message this morning. You know, when you take the bread and cup, you should be like that beggar. You should leave out of here to your car, walking and leaping and praising God. Yeah. My sins are forgiven. Amen. Hallelujah. We should walk and leap and praise God.
That's right.
We should be leapers. You know, John the Baptist was a leaper, right? He was a womb leaper. Amen?
Amen.
He leapt in Elizabeth's
right.
womb when he heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
So are you leapers?
Yes.
We want to be leapers and praisers and walkers.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. I know, Pastor Chris, you're a leaper. Amen. 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 So this is let's examine ourselves. Let's just close our eyes and before we take the bread and the cup. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. As Pastor Chris said, we are nothing without him. And so you're taking the bread as a symbol of his body and the sustenance. And the bread, as you take that bread into your mouth, it should remind you that everything you have comes from Jesus the Messiah. In our hands, we bring nothing, but in his hands, he brings everything. And so the word of God says and this is Paul, I've received of the Lord something that I'm also going to say to you. And here's the good words, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to the Father and to those in the upper room, he broke it, which was a symbol of what he would do in a few short hours. He broke the bread. And he said, and we say to you, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread together. And then after the same manner, Jesus took the cup. And you know what the cup is? The cup is a symbol of God's holy wrath. And Jesus would drink the cup of God's wrath till the very bottom. Drink it to the dregs. Jesus did it so we wouldn't have to.
Right.
Amen? And so Jesus says to his disciples, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's drink the cup together, remembering that Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God becoming man, he drank the cup of God's wrath. So as our eyes are bowed, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, and our eyes are bowed too, Lord, thank you for this gift of the past remembrance of your death, and thank you for the present remembrance that we have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to do signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And Lord, it's also a reminder of your future coming. So we give all honor, glory, praise, and adoration. Lord, fill us to overflowing. Help us to be done with discouragement. Help us to be done with depression. Help us to be done with despondency. Help us to be done with distress and live as believers in the new life of Jesus Christ, because we have taken the bread and the cup. And we pray this in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's little people and little beggars shouted,
Amen. Woo!
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His Word. Don't forget to join us for worship live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.